Please stand for, I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic
for which it stands,
one nation,
under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we please have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski?
Here.
Councilmember Mulvihill?
Here.
Councilmember De Leon?
Here.
Councilmember O'Donnell?
Here.
Councilmember Page?
Here.
We have a quorum, Mayor.
Thank you. So this is our open mic for our town hall meeting, and you can speak for 5 minutes the first time, and then everybody subsequently can speak for 5 minutes. And then if it's, we still have time before 9 o'clock, then people can speak twice. Is there anybody wishing to address council tonight? Seeing no one, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Mayor?
Yes?
So could we wait just another couple of minutes just to see if somebody is still logging on? So I just say, you know, like a minute and a half, 2 minutes, just to
okay. Make sure.
I agree with that. Thank you.
I'm okay with that as well.
Me too. Good idea.
Yeah. So the pump track was upgraded, like, I think it was 4 years ago, Mayor, young man came out with his friend and they upgraded the pump track, but it still looks really good. So I think somebody comes out still and upgrades their,
yeah,
still makes the mounds.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I came in late, but Council Member Deedy, where are you? Are you, you're not outside the skate park, are you?
Yeah.
No, not the skate park. I am at the gymnasium.
Okay.
So, and then that's the pump track.
Okay.
And the rules. And then that's public work behind me.
Okay.
Yeah, so the gym that Brock runs is right across the street from the pump track, and then during the summertime especially and warmer weather, there's always people out here at the pump track either riding bikes or they've got their remote control cars. Some of them are out here teaching their kids, you know, to go over the mounds, and then there's some parents that bring their 2-year-olds, 1-year-olds, and they just run up and down the hills. Quite well. It's a pretty cool place.
Is that Chris's kid?
No, Ansel goes over there on his little glider bike and rides on it.
Yeah.
Alice rides her bike on there. So they have fun. They have fun. We have like play dates and meet their friends there and stuff like that. So
yeah. And I think, you know, with the fence being upgraded and the new entrances, there'll be 2 entrances now. That will be a plus for parents out here with their kids. And then, of course, we have the 2 picnic tables out here that were donated last August, which families like to use as well. So
I was thinking the where the skateboard park was, right, is now just flat concrete, right? I was thinking it'd be a great place to play some street hockey.
Oh, totally.
We need to get with a Kraken and have them sponsor some nets and some free sticks.
It's too small. It's not big enough.
I play street hockey on a dead end street. Come on.
So we're 4 minutes in. Has anybody logged on?
No,
I don't see anybody new who's logged in.
But hey, can I get a little serious here? Just at the risk of being too serious, is in a public comment, I would like to make a public comment if I can. Is that permissible, Mayor, on a couple of things? What I'd like to say is, first of all, if anyone is going to provide a public comment, thank you. And I would love to have, we should all encourage as council members to get some public comment from our people, right? I mean, that's what we're here all here for, right? And I really want us to encourage that. So I'm in my office here in Renton, and across the parking lot is this, there's a hotel that's $89 a day, and they had a shooting that happened over there. And I got employees. I'm a small business. I have employees. I'm worried about their safety and all of that. And as a concerned citizen, I reached out to the Renton Police Department. I reached out to the mayor of Renton, and I also reached out to the council. Because I know that when I get a message, and we all get emails, and I try to respond just to that person and say, hey, I've at least let them know that I've heard them. And whether I can do anything in my capacity, I've heard you. I'm going to take that into consideration. If that comes forward in the council meeting, then that happens. And I want us all to hopefully, you guys are all probably better than me at doing this, but to encourage the public to do that, to speak up when you see something. And especially if you're a business, you know, I told them that I'm concerned about my people. Should I move my business from Renton to Black Diamond?
Yeah, there you go. Move to
So we're safe and we're secure. And I mean, that's not right, you know? So I want the general public to speak up, whether it's a business or some, you know, whatever the concerns are. I know we've had some pedestrian safety issues there, and people have spoke up, and we want to hear from them, and I want them to encourage. We won't always agree, but we really want that public input. I think that that's important. And then we take all that in, right? And then it helps us to set our priorities as a council. And I know we have the retreat coming up, and I think that that's going to be really important, that the more input we can get from the public to talk about, you know, what are the issues of the day, whether it's today and it's somebody trying to cross Highway 169 and there's not the crosswalks there and they're not lit up properly, or there's people walking down the side of a road and then we don't have sidewalks there. All things that we need to consider and really take some look as to are we missing the big picture, or are we even missing the details? And let's make sure we get it right. I think that that's really, really important. I did reach out, you know, as the mayor knows, to Andy and others, Mona, I know you're online there too, to say, you know, some of the concerns out there in the public is, hey, there's pedestrian, we're growing so fast, and all these developments are building the sidewalks right outside of their development within certain feet of each, you know, of the entrance of their development and all that. I see that on 288th, where in the area where I live, is hopscotch, right? Wherever there was a development, there's a nice sidewalk, but there's no sidewalks in front of, so you can drive down a sidewalk, ride a walk or whatever, and then you have to cross, and you have to get on another one, and you have to do all, it's just crazy, right? What is the big picture for pedestrian safety or bicycle safety, or even for that matter, vehicle safety, that's really looking at the big picture at a master level of all these individual developments that are happening, and they're meeting their code obligation and they're meeting their requirements for addressing all of these issues, but who is looking at the big picture of it all? And that's what really concerns me. And I think ultimately, that's what concerns a lot of the citizens, especially somebody that has a near miss. You know, I'm just jogging on the side of the road and I almost got hit by somebody that's texting and driving. You know, would that have been avoided if there was a sidewalk and a curb? You know, they're not going to drive up on the curb. So for me, it's starting to, because I'm listening to what people are saying, that wasn't on my radar when I joined the council, but it is now. And I want to know what, Andy, tell me what we know. Mona, tell me about that.
Public Works is in charge of the sidewalks, and we do have a city code that if you build a new development or a new building or new in a, like all the commercial ones are all going to have sidewalks like Provident did. But, so eventually the city will be walkable, but We do have a master plan for where the sidewalks go and when they go in. And when we do the roundabout, there will be sidewalks at that intersection.
But Mayor, with all due respect, there's no master big picture of that. That development is responsible for that area. This development is responsible for that area. What about in between? So it's great that you're safe for this 100 feet and you're great for this 100 feet. But what about the other 100 feet in between?
I thought that was stuff that we were supposed to cover in the comprehensive plan, right? Isn't that the walkability kind of stuff? And isn't that supposed to be stuff that not only the planning commission, but also.
There is no big picture plan.
There is on the tip for sidewalks to be put in on 288. So I did get that added on, like I mentioned before. For the city, when we can find grants to get sidewalks put in on 288, that is on, I believe it's the tip.
Yeah, it is.
Did we do Lawson in that? I think we talked about sidewalks on Lawson at one point in time as well.
To Councilmember O'Donnell's point, though, I think the idea is more of, it still feels like to a lot of residents, like a lot of this is still fairly piecemeal. And that sometimes it feels a little bit more retroactive. And I think it's a mixture of how do we make sure that we're also communicating things like the tip and like some of these projects and like the fact that we're trying to get some of these sidewalks in with the fact that we're trying to demonstrate that we're making this an effort to the community, because I feel like that information is still lacking in some places, as well as just really more concertedly going into the concept of sidewalks. But even beyond sidewalks, you know, and this is also echoing Councilmember O'Donnell's point, it's about bike paths as well, because that's something I've certainly been hearing from residents as well. And I don't want to overlook a piecemeal approach to bike paths as an additional point of public safety, because we have heard a lot about from residents in various times about different parts of the road, as well as how, you know, here's a bike path and then all of a sudden it ends. I remember being in the Public Works Committee when, you know, and I remember also adding that I think we needed to include a sidewalk around 288th. But I think beyond that is how do we holistically make sure that we have the sidewalks, the bike paths, and I'm also going to throw out long-term, we also need some more transit options and more places for things like van pooling as well as part of it. Because I think right now it's just that feeling that it can feel a little bit hit or miss for people, and saying, yes, you're building a new development, there might be sidewalks, but how do we make sure that older communities, and, you know, I live in Old Town, also have some of those access and some of those resources as well. And I think that's what, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's, I think what, at least I think Councilmember O'Donnell is saying that a lot of people have said, even if they're not in this town hall today, this is kind of the things that we've been fielding.
Yeah.
You know, when I first moved out here from Seattle back in 95, 94, right in that area, there weren't any sidewalks. So the fact that we have sidewalks and we can discuss why they're piecemeal and why don't we build more, the city has always been financially stuck with that. So the only way we got sidewalks down here on the highway was through a grant. You know, that's what built those sidewalks on that highway and gave a safe passage for the kids that live, you know, Lawson Hill Estates and up on this hill. So, you know, we do what we can, but if there's no money.
With all due respect, we can't think that way. What is the right thing to do? We need a comprehensive approach, whether we can afford it or not. We at least can tell them, here is the comprehensive approach of what we want to do. Now let's put the funding aside. Here's the right thing of what we have to do.
Then you end up with the
problem. There are some rural back roads that we don't necessarily need sidewalks. There's plenty of, you know, we'll mow the side of the road and, you know, an occasional person wants to walk down it. But there's also areas where it is a neighborhood friendly, pedestrian friendly, bicycle friendly, or even, we need to talk about the vehicles going down the road, and we need to address that. And we need to have, it needs to be a comprehensive approach as to how we are doing that. Not that, gee, we got lucky on this part of 288 because there was a development that added six houses. They're going to put some sidewalks in front of it. And then over go down 500 feet and there's another sidewalk. What that doesn't do anything for the fact that we don't have a comprehensive approach.
Well, I agree with you on that.
We have the funding is a different thing. The source of funding is different than what we need physically. And then let us figure out whether we can get the funding. We shelve it. We put it, it's an idea project. We put it on the shelf until we have a grant, or we have to set, get taxes or whatever. That is separate from what we actually need as a city, the right thing to do. And right now we don't have either. If we're being reactive and saying, well, gee, we're going to go get a grant and add some more sidewalks, and then we're going to decide where we're going to put that, that is a reactive approach rather than a proactive approach. And that's what we need to do. We can't think about the Black Diamond as 3,000, 2,500 citizens back of yesterday. We got to think about the fact that we're going to be 20,000 residents here in short order. We can't think that way.
20 years is the build out.
Nope, 10. take the time, talk to the developers. We're going to be at 20,000 in short order. I assure you, it is happening fast.
Nope.
It is happening fast. Yep.
Well, I agree with you that we should have a plan for sidewalks. And if you set up the plan, what we end up having is citizens coming back and said, you said I was going to have sidewalks on my road, and why aren't they there?
So in
lieu of
that, we say we don't have a plan and we're going to be reactive and we want to be conservative. We don't have any idea. No, here is what we want to do. Here is the comprehensive approach we're going to have. We need to find the funding so we can do that. Help us, taxpayers, to be able to do this for you, right? In lieu of doing that, what do? We can't be reactive. We have to be proactive, at least identify the big picture plan, right?
Well, we're agreeing with you, Bernie.
Okay.
So that's what the TIP and the CIP does. So you put that on there, and then city staff sees that those are priorities. And then they say, okay, we see that we have grants out there for a sidewalk for 288, or we see that we have a grant for this other issue that's on the TIP or the CIP. So council, you know, sets the priorities for staff.
There is no plan.
So when we put it on the TIP and the CIP, that shows them that these are the issues that are important, are the top issues for the council. If you want to have a plan where you go out and you assess the entire city of Black Diamond and you say, okay, there's connections that are coming for sidewalks, and there's places that the city needs to put sidewalks in because there isn't going to be a development in between there for many years or longer, then we need to get that on the TIP so that the staff can start, you know, saying, okay, this is the top priority. Everything else is set back, and the top priority is sidewalks.
So if I may, I think this is a really important
Why don't we leave this conversation for the Public Works Committee meeting so Seth can lead us through the process on how to get things
right? And we're having a Public Works meeting next Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday there's a Public Works meeting. We can. This would be a perfect subject for that committee. And then if you want to form some subcommittee that figures out what that plan needs to be, if you don't think it's comprehensive enough, but Seth will be able to explain to you what our city code is as far as sidewalks go and what it takes to build sidewalks, because I don't know the answer to all of that.
Right.
But it's a great discussion to have. I mean, I love these conversations that the council has, and they bring forward, you know, an agreement that, hey, the city needs this. And now the council needs to figure out how to get that going and where the money is coming from, because we are the caretakers of the citizens' money. So where's that coming from? How are we going to get the grants to help us with it and move forward? So, you know, I welcome these conversations. I think they're awesome. So, you know, like the mayor said, let's get them into our committees and figure out how to go forward with it.
So then just to reiterate too, I think this is really going to be an incredibly good conversation for the Public Works Committee to have and really to review the TIP, because we've been getting a lot of public input. So it is interesting to kind of turn this town hall session into more of a discussion of what we've heard in the community. And I hope anyone listening in later really does find that fruitful, because I do think that all of us in different conversations with the community, and, you know, I'll reiterate my listening session I had on Zoom a month ago really did drive this point home as well, that it is really worth looking into that as well. So the only other thing that I would also be leaving with too, in addition to sidewalks, is really looking at that comprehensive planning that will go around bike paths, as well as any future opportunities for transit, including vanpool, because we don't have anything like that right now. And I think the answer to a lot of this is also working closely with the county as well as with WashDOT, because we do need to find a multifaceted solution to what that transportation issue going forward looks like. It's not just, you know, cars and congestion. We have to think a little bit more broadly about that. And that really does tie in well with what we talked about in public, in the, actually, I think in the, yeah, in the community development committee meeting as well, is about the future of the parks and maybe what that could look like as well. So I just think this is a really good opportunity that people know that we have been listening to this, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the Public Works Committee does with this conversation.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Yeah, you guys all have great conversations and good words and good suggestions, and I'm on board with all of it. I agree that should be going to your Public Works Committee, but I see that Jonna Thomas is online, and I would like to know if she would like to have any comment on this town hall before we close, because we have given 22 minutes to our citizens that come forth and speak to us at our town hall, and she's just joined. So if she does not have anything to say, I would like to make a motion to adjourn, but I see that she's popped on, so let's give her a chance to speak to us.
Hey, Jonna.
Hey, hi, guys. I'm curious.
Your name and city of residence.
Thank you. Jonna Thompson, Black Diamond. I'm curious about the where we're at with the fire department issue. I did attend the last special meeting, and I know there was some resolution at the end of that meeting, but because I hadn't attended the meetings before, the resolution was a little out of context to me. So I didn't understand really kind of like, what's the next step? Where are we going next?
So what we're doing, Jonna, is we have a negotiation team, city employees and the attorney that are talking to the fire department, and they're going to make a resolution or come to a resolution with them to recontract with them going forward until we can figure out how we can get money for a bond issue to raise enough money to be able to afford being able to fund two fire stations.
Oh, so the issue regarding having the city of Black Diamond change their status and be a part of the Mountain View fire system, that's not on the table?
Not right now. It'll be a future negotiation, but right now we're just talking about recontracting with them at a higher rate so that we're paying them
okay. Calls
for service. And then once that is done, then the council will have to give us a new direction on if they, you know, we're going to have to do a bond issue to be able to afford to even contract with them. And then after we have come to some resolution with the fire department, and they've been acting like they're happy to negotiate with us. And after we come to a resolution with them to do that, then we have to talk about how we're going to fund it and going out for a bond issue and what that's going to look like. And can we get enough income to fund all of public safety, including growth in the police department?
Okay, I see. Okay, so there's still a negotiation that needs to happen, and because they're certainly up against that 3-year window that they gave us, because COVID just ate up a whole year of that time. So it did, but
we are trying to negotiate, so we would start at the beginning of next year, mm-hmm. so that we wouldn't cheat them out of a year of income.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole idea is to negotiate starting at the beginning of next year, 1 year earlier than their contract termination date, so that they will be motivated to want to a contract with us.
I think that's a good idea. That's great. That's great. At some point, there will need to be some kind of a bond or a levy that where people have to get behind supporting the fire department more, though, at some point down the road, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, because the consultant that we used for the fire study has somebody that actually goes out and you pay a contractor to come in, do all the materials, educate the public, do all the public notification and doorbelling and whatever it takes to get people up to speed on why they want the bond issue for their public safety.
Jonna, weren't you in charge of that?
Yeah, the last one I chaired the committee. And so, I mean, I guess one of my thoughts is it's been a decade since the city went out for any kind of bond or levy. So I feel like there's not a lot of institutional history about what goes into passing these the first time, as opposed to learning the hard way the first time and then passing it the second time, you know, because even if you hire a consultant, for the city and the city, their city's job, just as let's compare it with a school district. The school district's job or the city's job is to educate the public, as you just said, Carol. But the get out the vote piece, that's a committee that has to be formed. So the city can say, here's the information. Residents in the community have to say, we want to pass this. We want to provide like supplemental information. So I just want to plant that seed with all of you that committee will need to be formed.
So,
yeah, and we've discussed with Chief Smith as well, and during our ad hoc committees that we had, that we know that it's going to take more than just the city putting out a few, you know, messages. It's going to take doorbelling and getting that information out to all residents to understand why we're going out for that levy. So it'll be a work. And I think what we said about that, the ad hoc, was it'll be a good year of education.
So, Jonna, I haven't met you. Thank you for speaking up and the time to engage. I want to put it out there that it is not a premise that we're going to increase taxes because we need to figure out our fire station situation. That's a fact. We don't know how much our projection of, we haven't done a forecast of what our actual revenue is. So I don't want to be talking about a levy lift. I don't want to be talking about that we need to form a committee to going to tax all the residents. We don't know that. First of all, we haven't negotiated with the fire department of what the actual cost increases are. Have we done a forecast of what our actual revenue is for the future years? A lot of that is up in the air because we don't know at what is the build out developments. We don't know then the follow on 3 to 5 years before we see an increase in property taxes. We don't know those numbers yet. We are trying to get a consultant on board to help us figure that out so we can do the proper forecast. And then we would know whether we even need an increase, right? We have in the short term, we're gonna have a big increase in Washington state sales tax, our little portion of that, and that's about $400,000 right this year over last year and maybe even more, right? Over our forecast that we had budgeted for, okay? And so we got to figure that out. And that's what our first step is to figure out what is, get a consultant on to help us do accurate forecasting so we know what our revenue is. So the premise that we have to raise taxes, as you can imagine, the average person, the average resident is, why are we having to increase taxes for a fire station when we're doubling or we're bringing in 500 homes and all of a sudden, why aren't they paying for it? Why are we having to do that? You know, we were perfectly fine before. So
we weren't good before.
Employees, that's what the average resident is going to say. We got to be sensitive to that. And so we got to get our ducks in a row, understand what our revenue is. And then make informed decisions. But we should not be saying we got to cut employees, public employees, or we need to tax the general public. I really want us all to caution against doing that until we know the facts.
You make a good point, because people will definitely push again. Well, I mean, there's certainly a feeling that this growth and development should pay for all of our needs into the future, right? So people will push against tax increases.
It shouldn't be an additional burden on the long time residents here, right? I mean, everybody needs to pay their way. And so, and I'm confident that it should work out that way, you know?
Well, I'm gonna remember that the citizens of Black Diamond have been deficient in their fire service already. Right. So you can't expect, you know, just like we go out for grants for the road projects with, in good faith with Oak Point, it's because that we have been deficient. You can't expect a developer to pay for everything, even when we were deficient in that. So you also got to keep that in mind.
Right. There's quite a bit of history, Bernie, that you're not necessarily, Tammy and I have been deep into this, you know, history for a lot longer than you've been around. So I appreciate your perspective, and so it'll be, I'll keep an eye on it.
I think I've been here since 2006 as a resident. So I can tell you from the resident's perspective, they're not going to want to pay an increased property tax or other tax to pay for additional fire service. I've been here for 14, 15 years. And as far as I know, the fire service has been great. So why, the only thing that has changed is that there are more residents here and they should pay their way. That's gonna be the general perspective of people, whether we're deficient or not. I feel confident in the last 15 years, if I called up 911, a fire truck would have shown up. And so it's like pushing Jell-O uphill. We'll see how well that works. We've gotta make sure that we are understanding what the perspective is from the common residents. They're gonna have a hard time with an increased when there's a lot of new residents coming in.
I will say, Bernie, that you do have excellent time service out there for Lake Sawyer residents with that Lake Sawyer fire station. But for me and for Chris up on Lawson Hill and for Lee, it's not good timing. It's not a good, it's over 12 minutes for response time for us, where you probably are within that 4 to 5 minute response time. And, you know, we don't have a fire station over on this side until the one gets built. But we are deficient, and we have been, and it would be good for your, you know, anybody to listen to council meetings that are on fire service, or find the records for the ad hoc committee meetings, you know, request those and understand that, or just meet up with Chief Smith and sit down and talk with him about the fire service and where we're deficient at and response times and what's in our comp plan to say what response times are supposed to be for all citizens.
And truly, in addition to the response times, for at least my understanding of the history of it, because I was also catching up to speed as well with Chief Smith before I was able to officially get on and serve, is that this has been a long-stemming thing where essentially, long story short, our current fire services were saying we can't continue anymore with this kind of payment and this kind of directive. Like, this is, you know, not exactly the same premise, but it's along the same lines of it's time to pay the piper, essentially. And we're now looking at the fact that we're also getting higher volumes of calls. And, you know, with increased, you know, demand, we still have to make sure that there's at least some supply. And right now we might still be having an increase of residents, and it's just not going to be able to keep up regardless of whether you've lived here for 20 years or 2 months. You're still going to have to need that service and pay your way in. So I think it's a matter of really making sure we're thinking about these kinds of any potential increases like this with taxes as really an investment in our community safety and right. In those response times. I'd hate to think of just paying our own way into our a service that we all need and benefit from as a burden, right? And I think it's just a matter of being really cognizant of the fact that this is truly an investment in something that really benefits our community all the way around, you know, right down to the fact that this fire department gives out, you know, bicycle helmets at events. You know, like, this is something that I think really, you know, it's something that's just been long overdue. We've been, you know, kind of to Councilmember Deedee's point, we've been behind in payments by hundreds of thousands of dollars. And now there's just saying, you know, this is, we can't continue like this any longer. And this is what we're finally addressing.
Right. And to be clear for the record, right, we've met our contractual obligations with the district. It's just that the district has now, you know, made it much more clear to us that the contract currently does not pay for the services we're getting. And it's no longer going to allow the rest of the district to supplement the Black Diamond costs, right? So we need to come to an agreement to figure out how we can get to a point where we can afford to pay them what we need to and what we should be. But, you know, it's been years of kicking it down the can down the road. We've talked about, you know, annexation over and over again. Our ask out of those last work sessions was that the city staff go together, work with Mountain View on a new contract in the direction of annexation as we gather more information, gather more numbers, all that kind of stuff, and plan for the future. But knowing that there is a timeline coming up there, we want to, in good faith, move forward with them and let them know that they are our preferred choice. So
I want to add in there too, Council Member Mulvihill and I had a meeting with Chief Smith this week, and you know, they're very ready to move forward with this conversation. They're very ready. They want to continue to serve Black Diamond. They're eager to move forward with this. And I know that they have a, you know, they have a vested interest. And I think there are ways that we as a council and as a community of concerned citizens as well can really support their initiatives. So thank you, Jonna, for coming in and sharing your perspective tonight.
Did we get anybody else?
Yeah, come in? Definitely.
She must have fallen over there.
We lost her.
But we also got to remember, just a quick note, you know, when you talk about safety, it's just not obviously our fire, it's our police. And, you know, I mentioned before that, you know, that the police, since the last safety levy, has gone up from, I think it was 1.8 or 1.6 to now almost 3 million. And in our comp plan, I believe it's one officer per 1,000. So at some point, our budget cannot, you know, just keep taking to support the police and the fire. So we're going to have to go out eventually to the citizens and ask for that support.
No, Council Member Deedee, you don't know. We don't know, because we don't know what the forecast of the revenue is. Can you tell me tomorrow what is the forecast for next year for revenue for the city? We don't know. So how can we say that? There's a mantra that everybody is putting out there about we can't afford this. We don't know. We don't know.
The finance director is definitely very clear that sustainable income will not cover fire services.
We have a significant growing increase surplus revenue right now because of the sales tax. And that will be followed 3 to 4 years with an increased growth in our property tax. And nobody here on this screen knows what those numbers are.
The property tax.
Say we don't have enough money to do stuff.
The property tax
down the road. With all due respect, it's an excuse to kick it down the road. We need to make informed decisions, and we're not doing that. We're not.
So what I'm saying is that, you know, it's not going to be next year. It might not even be the year after that, but at least have the conversation and let citizens know what we're talking about and where we're going, so that they can educate themselves as well with getting that information, calling the mayor, calling, you know, and seeing if they could talk to May, and just, you know, calling council members and having that discussion. if you don't have this discussion, then the citizens don't know what's going on. And then when it's time to do something, they're like, well, how come this wasn't discussed? You know, don't blindside us. So I think, you know, Bernie, you don't want to go out. You don't think that we need to in 5 years or 3 years or whatever. But I think that
we don't know. That's all I'm saying. We don't know.
And I'm saying you need
to make informed decisions
to prepare everybody for something that may need to be done.
Well, I think this also, everyone, goes to one of the things that we all know is a weakness in the city is communication. So here we are tonight on a town hall, and we have one amazing citizen who has come to participate. And how, you know, we have to do a better job communicating outward and sharing and providing those updates. So I see Councilmember Oglesby has something to add, so I'll stop.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Thank you, Mayor. So I just want to remind everybody that this is a town hall meeting. This is for the citizens to call in, talk to us regarding their concerned subjects, and we do all take turns speaking to our residents. And this is not a session where we are debating what should, could be. Yes, I hear you, Bernie. You're very passionate. I'm on board with you. I hear what you're saying, but let's keep these conversations either in our committee, talking to our city things, and let this meeting be for the citizens to answer their questions. And let's not wander too far from what Jonna had asked about the fire. And if there is no more further citizens wanting to speak to us, I do make a motion to adjourn.
I second it.
Oh, I would like to talk if there's time. Sorry, I wasn't exactly sure what a town hall was. So I just showed up and you guys were talking. But my name is Jenny Tedesco and I am from Black Diamond. I just moved here at the end of July, and I was actually part of Christina's meeting that you had a month ago. And I had shared some concerns from her. I am one of the new residents living in Ten Trails, and I just had questions that I had brought up to her in regards to Oak Point and in regards to the retail center that they had communicated to us residents. There seems to be a miscommunication, I guess, between them and us residents as to their timeline. I was able to listen in on an old city council meeting where I understand that Oak Point let their application expire, and then they withdrew their application, and it was communicated to us residents that they hired a consultant to kind of start, I guess, from the ground up again. But a lot of us residents are concerned. Obviously, COVID has impacted retail. And I think some of us are concerned that they might backtrack on their commitment of building a retail instead, possibly building condos. I know I had done some research and saw that in another neighboring community, Oak Point wanted to turn their retail space into condos, and it came down to a 4-3 vote on a city council. And so I just communicated that to Christiana that, you know, if that was a decision that Oak Point ever came to you guys, that a lot of us residents, you know, would be, you know, obviously unhappy about that. We also talked about it from an environmental standpoint as well, being able to, you know, walk rather than have to drive places. And I think what a lot of us are just wondering is, from a city standpoint, how much time they are going to be given to, obviously they need to submit a new application. And so what kind of the time frame, I guess, that they have to do that in, what time of time manner, basically? Because we as residents of Ten Trails are not really been given sufficient information from them. So that's just my public comment.
Thank you. And I, you know, before anyone else jumps in on it too, because I remember you bringing this up and that we had this really robust conversation around it. I did follow up afterwards with asking more about what this looks like, about who's going to be in charge of this? And I also asked more from Oak Point's standpoint too about what this future looks like. And I'm just going to say for right now, I did not get much of a response. So I am really curious to hear, because I tried to also follow up and get some of these clarifications around anything related to some of the questions about Oak Point that were raised. And I have not heard anything yet. So I would be really, really curious to hear tonight also, if there are any updates past what I've been at least trying to do on my end, because I'm really appreciative that you've been here tonight at this town hall and also raising it for all of us as well. So I'd really love to hear if there's more finality past what I was trying to at least follow up on my end. Thank you.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Yeah, thank you, Jenny, for chiming in and speaking up. This is very important. Like, we have new residents from 10 Trails. You know, we have John has been in Black Diamond for a long time. So I thank you for your comment. I have not gotten an update either, but I would encourage all us city council members to email the 10 Trails head honcho. We all know who he is. Like, John blank right now, because, you know. Anyway, so we should email him, talk to him. Let's figure out what the plans are so we can communicate that to you clearly, to all our residents, what the goal is and what the plan is. Again, I don't know the answers yet either. They haven't been clear to me either. So I feel like it's our job to make sure we do have the clear answers and give to you in the future.
Councilmember Deedy.
So with what you just talked about, we had that meeting with Brian Ross not too long ago, and they did talk about that they were going to go for a new company that comes in and helps them figure out the best way to bring in businesses. So I'm not sure if they will have any more to say to the council that they're saying to their residents. I'm not sure if council sends a bunch of emails to them what kind of response we'll get, other than, you know, I think that it would be best to just invite them back again in another month, because I think it was a month ago that they were at council, and just have an update, you know, and you can email Andy at MDART and see what he has to say about, you know, what happens, you know, well, not Andy, but Mona for permitting, to figure out that part of it. But, you know, as far as, you know, the council, for me, you know, my thought is that, you know, I would love to see businesses come in, because that's what the city needs, is more businesses. I would not be in favor of saying no businesses and bring in some other housing.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, again, that's something that hasn't been discussed at all. And just like Bernie says, why put that rumor out there? So let's wait and see what Oak Point brings to us and asks for at the city level and permits, and move forward from there to understand where they're going. I think, you know, because they're just bringing in this new team, it's pretty new. So it hasn't had a chance to get information data back to the city to say, here's where they're going yet. So I just want to, you know, just say, let's be cautious and let's just hope for the best that they're working on bringing businesses in, and that will start, you know, within the year, getting something built out there.
So
Councilmember Leon.
Thank you so much, Mayor. Yeah, and I think really to this point, these are the questions that I think a lot of us, and I can at least speak for myself, have been fielding for months now, is actually the question that Jenny's been raising. And I think after a while, there's a point at which I have to wonder what's actually, like, what is kind of the delay in releasing this information? Because it has been several months. And, you know, I think with everything going on, it's nice to at least give at least a timeline. And this is part of what I was trying to inquire about from Oak Point as well, is I understand that all these things related to permitting, of course, don't happen overnight. And I know that everyone in both in MDRT and also in planning can absolutely attest to that. However, even just knowing roughly when we could expect to get some word on it, and then not hearing back about that, is, I think, something of concern and frustration to residents throughout Black Diamond, and especially for folks who've kind of moved into a community and literally paid into a community where there's kind of this understanding that there's this living and walkable community with these kinds of amenities, you know, with an actual commercial space and with these kinds of offices. And, you know, at least to that same point, you know, and I don't want to, you know, go into anything about assuming on it as well. But, you know, we were talking about things related to even the future of places like a city hall in Black Diamond and future planning on this. And, you know, there were folks in that discussion who are from Elk Point. But before we could really get to that, you know, discussion, they weren't on the call anymore. And I think that's what I'm just echoing, that I think this is the frustration that a lot of residents are feeling that I just want to echo and amplify a little bit, because I am trying to follow up with these questions, but we're not hearing anything. And I want to understand that this is something that we do want to talk about more. And I think, just going on a tangent on that as well, I think this really does reiterate the question of why, long-term planning wise, we do want to think about what it looks like to plan for a position like a longer-term city manager position. Because right now, as we all know, people like Andy Williamson and Mona Davis are incredibly swamped in the day-to-days of their various jobs on this. You know, right now we're just trying to deal with the fact that we're trying to build this huge project on the roundabout alone, as well as keeping up with the day-to-day of all the developments just in Elk Point alone, or the Ten Trails area, to say nothing of anywhere else in Black Diamond. And then also, of course, there's all the day-to-day permitting and the permitting appeals and SEPA appeals and all of these things going on that I think it is really hard. And this almost kind of echoes Councilmember O'Donnell's point. It makes it harder to think of that bigger picture, or where we're really trying to make sure that we're holding all of these parties coming to the table accountable for their ends of the bargain. And I think that's, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jenny, but I think this is kind of going to what a lot of folks, especially in Ten Trails, but around, and people who are aspiring to start a business in Black Diamond have been concerned about, is really just when, because it's been years like this, not just months, but years of when. And you can only use COVID for so much of that excuse, as far as I'm concerned. So I think there's a lot of multifaceted things we have to deal with, including appropriating the staffing for this to really be tackled head on, because we're losing revenue right now because we're not addressing this.
So, Jonna, did you want to speak again?
Yeah, is that okay? Yes. So can I just say, to Jenny's point, Elk Point, Yarrow Bay promised all of us. They promised the city a walkable city with businesses, with a coffee shop. This is how they sold us on the front end about this whole development. We're going to create a little city here that you all can walk to and enjoy. So I think you, as council members, your job is to hold their feet to the fire about that, right? And no one has more experience than this with than Lee Mulvihill. So she knows to do that. I also wanted to just say what Debbie said. I'm really sad not to see more community members here. And because we all know on Facebook, there's a lot of questions out there. So I do kind of question, how are you pushing out this information? And I would love to see the city have a Facebook page. I know you've been reluctant to do that, but other cities, bigger cities, have a Facebook page, and it is a place to communicate with people and celebrate things that are happening and answer questions. And instead of it being on resident pages, which is just not as appropriate. So I would love to, it is past time for the city to have a Facebook page and have outwardly going communication.
We're working on one right now, Jonna.
Oh, good.
We're working on Facebook and Instagram.
So there is an Instagram page right now that's a test page, and they did post this, and I'm not sure how many people signed up for Brenda's the city's email to be notified, you know, of council meetings, of public hearings and things that the city puts out So, you know, I think at one time, you know, there was over 300. There could be quite a bit more, but maybe in the newsletter, Mayor, you could put that out again, you know, contact Brenda at this email and let her know that you want to be added onto the list of notifications. So people can do that again, know that that's out there as well for them to get that instant email notifying. I know Brock, my husband is on that, and he gets that notification all the time. So that's one way for sure to get to reach the citizens right away.
Thank you.
If I can speak up, I won't try to dominate the conversation, and because I tend to be a little frustrated at times, and I apologize for that up front. So, but there's a couple key points. One is let's not call it a city manager, city administrator. I've had people email me that. So it's a city administrator. There's a proper roles and responsibilities. It would be a city administrator. The other is that as far as the developer and holding their feet to the fire, I'm all about that. But at the end of the day, it's the market will bear what it will bear. If a coffee shop person thinks they can, as a personal business owner, I know there's other people here that on the screen that are business owners. If it makes economic sense to them, they will do that. We can do what we can do from our end to push the envelope, hold the developer accountable to really market the area hard. But if it will pencil out. Everybody follows McDonald's, right? If McDonald's comes in, everybody else flows in. Same with Starbucks. Not that we want those franchise businesses, but it's a matter of economics. And so we can incentivize it. We can market the fact that we have a low Washington state sales tax here. We have no B&O tax here. We are business friendly, and we should promote that. But I think that's the level that we can do it from a council. We can put a lot of pressure on the developer to be marketing their developments that is attractive. They're going to have, a low triple net on their lease agreements, and maybe they have some build out allowances and things like that. But at the end of the day, if it makes economic sense for a coffee shop owner to have a coffee shop, they're going to do it, right? So I'm confident it's going to happen when it happens, and we'll push from our end where we can, but there's only so much we can do too. I think it's just a reality check on all of that. So with all that, I think we just need to be smart about that and hold them accountable for it. But we can't expect that just because we put a lot of pressure on that, it's going to happen. A coffee shop owner has got to want to pay the premium for that new space and be there. I welcome all that. I think if I had enough money, I think it would make sense to have a wine and coffee shop with Wi-Fi, you know, for all of the people that don't want to travel into the city. They could just have their home office at my nice little wine shop or coffee shop, and it's all good. We have a good feeling there. There's a couple other shops down the adjacent to me, and they can buy these knickknacks, and it's all going to be wonderful. But it really comes down to economics, and there's only so much we can do. So that's all I want to say. And with all due respect to everybody, thank you very much.
Councilmember De Leon.
Thank you. One other point that I wanted to just express about the communications piece that I think is especially helpful is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mayor and or Brenda or anyone, but I think I think if I recall correctly, there was also at least somebody contracted or who's also working at least part-time on the development of the website, which is a new update from when it was city staff who were doing this in addition to their regular full-time jobs as a means of expediting the website, which is linked to the Facebook and Instagram. I would be curious to know tonight also the status of something like even the social media policies, because as far as I recall from our own conversations about council member related ones or councilmatic ones, that there would also be a separate one for the city and for its policies. And that's a big hang up for making sure that we can actually have an official city page. So I'd be curious to know about that timeline for the social media policy so that there are those kinds of rules of the road as part of that rollout. If I'm not mistaken, that's part of the hangup also. But I do agree though that we need to have that, because it's one thing to email and say there's a council meeting tonight, and that's important, incredibly important. I will never deny that. But of course, council meetings can go 15 minutes, they can go 3 hours. And sometimes all people want to know is a quick infographic about when is this roundabout project going to be completed? And people shouldn't have to sit in on a potentially 3 hour meeting just to find out why Roberts Drive is all built up and such. So I am curious to know about the social media policy, but also, I guess, to recap, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a staff who's now currently dedicated.
We did hire somebody part-time to help Rob with the website and to help with the other departments. And Mona actually hired somebody to help in the permitting department to update all of the forms so that she could get those on the website when it launched, so we wouldn't have old forms on the website. So she has been working on that, and Tristan has been working on the website, and Rob and Brenda have been working on the social media. And whenever we get ready to launch that, I will make sure that David has the social media policy in place. Council Member Wisnowski.
I see we had someone new join us. Do we want to see if they want to make a comment?
Yeah, Doug Powell, did you want to make a comment in our town hall meeting? Well, no response. So we did have a motion. Oh, Council Member Oglesby.
Yeah, I was just going to remind everybody, there is a motion and a second to adjourn the meeting.
Right. So we have a motion and a second. And if nobody else wishes to speak, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting adjourned.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Jonna. Nice seeing you.